With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Today my guest is Jay Widener. Before I bring him on, just a couple of announcements. You can always get regular episodes free on Rockfin, Odyssey, and all podcast platforms. Check us out on Rockfin, where you get all our premium content, our regular shows, and all the amazing content from every creator that is there on Rockfin. Check out all the amazing podcasts by the Forbidden Knowledge Network. You can get them all in one place. Our website, forbiddenknowledge.news. And finally, we're living in really unsure times right now, and an emergency food supply, it wouldn't be a bad investment right now. Check out the experts in emergency preparedness, My Patriot Supply. Their nutritious, delicious food stays good in storage for up to 25 years, and you can get up to $100 off a 4-week supply of their food. Just click the link in the description to see what My Patriot Supply has to offer. Today, I want to welcome back to the show Jay Widener. He is a renowned filmmaker, author, and scholar, considered to be a modern-day Indiana Jones for his ongoing worldwide quest to find clues to mankind's spiritual destiny via ancient societies and artifacts. His body of work offers great insight into the circumstances that have led to the current global crisis. He is a writer, director of the feature film The Last Avatar, director of the critically acclaimed documentary Infinity, The Ultimate Trip, Journey Beyond Death, and writer-director of the documentary series on the work of Stanley Kubrick, Kubrick's Odyssey, and Beyond the Infinite. He has also been featured on the History Channel and has produced original content for Gaia TV. He founded Sacred Mysteries together with his wife Sharon Rose and has directed 15 films in the current Sacred Mysteries DVD collection. Jay, welcome back. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm very good, and it's great to talk again. But each time you're on, our world sinks deeper into the depths of madness. We're witnessing a rollout of something that people like yourself have been warning about for years, and we can now pretty much tell the ones that have given themselves up to the system and now pretty much feel comfortable with a boot snugly on their face. So we have a lot to catch up on. Things are accelerating every day. You told me about some things going on in your local area that aren't too good. Now, did you think at the beginning of the onset of this in 2020, when you first noticed the madness behind the agendas, that things would have progressed as fast as they have?
No, there's no way. I never thought that they would, excuse me, I never thought they would kill the golden goose, first off. And so what they discovered was that they put the Porsche in the garage for almost 2 years, And then they tried to take the Porsche out and give it a drive, but everything fell apart in the Porsche during the 2 years, and it all has to be fixed. And, you know, the oil was in the engine too long without being with just sitting there, and it damaged the engine. And they thought that they could just pull the Porsche out and get it all started again. But that's not what happened. The Porsche can't work. And but a lot of other things happened. The lockdown kind of gave everybody time to think for the first time. I wasn't as busy, and I'm a pretty busy guy, but even I had time to look at stuff that I normally wouldn't have had time to look at. And a lot of people thought about their lives during that time. And I think one of the underlying things that's going on here, I do a lot of emailing and texting with a lot of younger men, I would say younger than me. So I'm talking about late 20s, early 30s. And I'm sensing this kind of strange thing going on among them where they don't care anymore. They know they can't get a girl. They know they can't get a wife. They know they're never going to have kids. And so they're saying to themselves, well, why the hell would I want to work 14 hours a day, 6 days a week, making 150 grand a year as a trucker, when I can go out, you know, up into the mountains, pick pot in the fall, make enough money to last the rest of the year, live in a little apartment, and play games all day, because I'm never going to get to have a wife and kids anyway. And so what we're seeing is that the the feminization of the society is having ramifications that no one really ever thought about, and how vital young males are to the workforce. We are about to discover that fact. And I don't blame them. I don't blame them at all. I wouldn't either. I'm not saying anything about women today, but they're kind of crazy. And I go to this hot springs, and I have to almost wear blinders like this on my eyes, you know, so I'm just see the water and the feet, because if I look up, I'm going to see a whole bunch of young, overweight, tattooed women. And Colorado, where I live, is like one of the, it is the slimmest state in the country. Yeah. We have fewer obese people in Colorado than any other state. And, but not where I go. I don't know what's going on, because, and it seems like they're gaining weight too. The COVID seems to have given everybody a little bit of weight. And as we speak, Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp are gone.
Yes.
And there's the longest shutdown of Facebook in its history. So far, it was, I think, 2.5 hours was the longest it was before. And now we've passed that. Went down 11:30 Eastern time. So we're at over four and a half hours down now, or 5.5 maybe.
Yeah.
And anyway, so, and I got a call from my good friend who helps produce my YouTube show, Manu, in India. And he's like, oh my God, the entire internet's out all over the world. He says, I'm on a dial-up phone right now. And I'm like, this guy's like super high tech, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. So I find it odd. There's when you're investigating a crime, one of the things you look at is, of course, motivation. But other things that you're looking at is chronological events that lead up to the crime.
Yeah.
And, if there was like a murder, do the people know each other? Did they see each other somewhere? Were there bad words between them? What happened in this case? And, you know, if you look at this whole thing that's happening to us like a crime, then you start seeing that there's things that happen chronologically that had to occur in the correct order for this crime to occur. Therefore, this was a pre-motivated crime. That's from an investigatory journalist point of view. That's what I have to conclude. It's not an accident that AJ got kicked out right when he got kicked out. It's not an accident when each of these things happened down the stream. And we're baffled. Why did that just happen? What's going on here? Oh, why did that just happen? What's going on here? Why is this person gone now? Why is that person gone now? What's going on? And you realize that each one was the loudest voice for calling out anything that was going to happen in the near future. And then, of course, the near future finally happened. And now here we are, and we're they're getting absolutely incredibly draconian. The county that I live in Colorado, I'm not going to say its name, but this actually made national news. Last Tuesday passed the most draconian emergency legislation, three guys that I've ever read. I read it yesterday. It broke out into the Gateway Pundit yesterday. I didn't believe it. You know, I have a rule. If I hear something in the news, it sounds like it's completely unbelievable. It usually is completely unbelievable. And that's what I said to my friend who called me up and told me that this thing had gotten passed. I'm like, no. And 5 minutes later, I'm on the internet and reading it. And they can confiscate my property. They can confiscate any weapons that I have. They can confiscate my bank account. This is what they passed. They can confiscate. They can control at any point sales of guns, the sales of alcohol, the sales of marijuana. This is like the most incredible thing. And it was three guys, and it's going to cause a real uproar. And the people are calling me, what do you think we should do, Jay? What do you think we should do? And I'm like, I think we should talk to him. I think we should talk to him. I'm like, no. They spoke. They voted it unanimously. So they spoke. It's either we vote them out right now. We have a recall vote right now and get them out, which is what I'm suggesting. We don't even bother talking to them. Just have a recall. Have it be fast and sudden, because I think this is a test case, because the county I live in is one of the least jabbered, you know, in the country. And also it's super libertarian, right? With the marijuana companies, we call it the 420 companies everywhere, all over the county. And we're very poor. We're the poorest county in Colorado, and we're the largest county in Colorado. And we have, you know, I think one deputy on at any given moment, and he's 60 miles away from where I live.
Yeah.
So, you know, if somebody was breaking into my house, right, I have to have something to protect myself, because even if I get on 911 before the burglar or whatever is happening gets here, I still got to protect myself and my family, you know. And, I think we're a test case. I really do. We're the perfect. We're low population, super poor, and we're highly hesitant, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I think it's about 25% have been, that's it in the whole county. So 75% are not. And I think that the up above these guys at the state level, they're looking at this and going, well, this isn't good.
Yeah, right? It makes me wonder how many other places around the country are implementing similar things like this at local levels, you know, like the place you're in. And, not the right hand is not knowing what the left hand is doing. And this could be being implemented slowly all over the country.
Yeah, and I also noticed something else in this incident is that, okay, this is a local incident, right? Local county voted in the draconian laws, right? Okay, how come I don't, you know, we're supposed to be in the age of the internet where everybody gets to find out everything right away and all that, and that's what we're told. I didn't find out about it until the Gateway Pundit reported on it yesterday. Okay, so it was Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. 6 days had gone, 5.5 days had gone by since they passed it before I even heard about it, right? And that made me think, wow, in a way, the internet has stupefied us. And we're not paying attention to local events, you know, because we got this whole world of the internet and you're out there every day looking at all this incredible things that are all over the internet, but you're not paying attention to what's going on right behind you. And so this thing got passed. And I would say that here's the other thing. When you read the 30 pages that they passed, there's no way they wrote this. Okay. We're little hick country. Nothing. We have nothing out here. Okay. There's no way this was written by these guys. Or if I did talk to them, the only question that I would ask them is, who the hell wrote this? Where'd it come from? And then I would say, I know it came from above. It came from the state. They gave it to you and said, you pass this or else we cut your funds. And since we're the poorest county in the state, you know, I was like, oh, they probably panicked because I know them. I mean, I know these guys. I would never, there's no way that they would misread our very libertarian community this way, right? I mean, there's no way. They know that they're going to get death threats if they did something like this, and now they are. So I think this is the battle that's starting to erupt everywhere. And, Rudolf Steiner is becoming more and more important every day. And his stuff is all over YouTube. It's really well done, and everyone should go and listen to it because he made predictions and he called it all the way to the actual date almost. And he said that they were going to invent these things that was going to drive the search for spiritual happiness out of us, that this was a planned thing. And it was coming from a force that Steiner calls from Zoroastrianism called Ahriman. Yeah. Ahriman, Rudolf Steiner said that Ahriman will incarnate at the beginning of the second decade of the third millennium. And 2020 would be that day. Okay. And so what is Ahriman? Okay. So Ahriman is, there's three forces in Steinerism. There's the Christ force, then there's the Lucifer force, and then there's the Ahriman force. Okay. The Christ force is just like what Christ said, you know, be in this world, but not of this world. Right. So that's the Christ consciousness, forgive, live at peace. Don't get into conflicts if you can avoid it, but you fight for yourself. That doesn't mean you don't fight for yourself. Okay. So that's the consciousness that's like maybe all the way on this side. And then in the center is the Luciferian consciousness. Now this is the manifestation of science.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Cities, common sense things. It seems that the Luciferian force is a force for common sense, but it utterly rejects anything that has to do with the Christ consciousness because it's only interested in this world. So the Luciferians are be in this world and of this world, where the Christ consciousness be up in this world, but not of it. So the Luciferians seek to control all intellectual discourse. And so science, you know, you're not, you just got to believe in science, you know, that's very Luciferian. And so forget Lucifer as Satan. That's not right. Luciferians appear satanic to people who are in the Christ consciousness, because the Christ consciousness people can see the world that's beyond the material world. And so they're kind of baffled by the concentration of everything on the material when they can obviously see that there's a lot more than just the material. So the two are you know, at odds with each other, and they're adversaries. And all of Western society since the Reformation and the Renaissance has been the Luciferian forces taking over. And then you see the Christ consciousness being diminished over this time period. So what is Ahriman? The third force. Ahriman is what happens when you take the Luciferian forces to their natural progression. Okay. You take the technological world that the Luciferian forces have constructed, right? And now let's take it to its logical end. And that would be total, absolute control over everything. You have a glass of wine and you start to pour that second glass of wine and a little chip in your head starts going off and starting causing all sorts of noises in your head and everything. Like you can, you're only allowed one glass of wine. You turn your thermostat above 70, you get the same thing. You have to turn it down or it'll automatically adjust, which is probably more likely. Yeah. So as the 5G gets in. So Ahriman is the complete and total subjugation of, ironically, the Luciferian force and the consciousness force. As Ahriman, what's going to be amazing as Ahrimanic forces grow, and that's what they're doing right now in front of us, the Luciferian middle doesn't know what to do. And a lot of them are getting weirdly converted and awakened. There's a guy on YouTube, Brett Weinstein. He's a liberal evolutionary biologist and everything is science. And he's realizing that he can't talk about biology anymore because the Ahrimanic forces say, no, you can't talk about anything unless we allow it. And so here's this guy, you know, ultimate degrees and PhD and all this stuff. And, you know, he's realizing, my God, I cannot talk anymore. I can't get on my own YouTube and talk about the subject that I have a freaking PhD in. And I got some 20-something at Facebook blocking me and saying that I'm wrong about what I'm saying when I'm actually, and he was right. He predicted the variants like 6 months ago. He said the variants was going to be caused by the thing. And so he was right the whole time I was watching him. But the Luciferian middle is getting shook up now by the Ahrimanic forces that are enveloping everything around us. So what's happening, and it's really interesting, is I know this guy who's an expert in China. And he said to me, you know, Jay, in China right now, there's this huge spiritual crisis. And I said, oh, really? He goes, yeah. And they have nothing really to supplant. There's no religion in their culture that can supplant anything. So, Taoism is just, you know, be quiet, and Zen is, you know, be quiet. And there's not really a spiritual tradition. It's more like a spiritual practice, but, you know, there's nothing to ground you. And he said, and it's weird because they're all, he said, you would not believe how many Chinese are secretly converting to Christianity, and they're going to these Christian sites and they're not telling anybody. And they said that these sites are growing by leaps and bounds. And I thought, wow, as the Ahrimanic forces take over, there's only one escape valve left in this spiritual panoply that Steiner, you know, paints. And that is the Christ consciousness. I had a couple of friends come over our house. They're living in the Pacific Northwest, and they coming through Colorado a few months ago. And both when we knew them, we lived in Oregon, they were New Agers. She has New Age tattoos on her arms and on her body, and she's a gorgeous woman. I can't remember the name of her kid. It was like, you know, some New Age thing like Morning Glory or something. And her husband, same way, you know, they're both New Agers. And so we're having dinner and I look at him, I say, well, what do you guys think about what's going on around here? And they go, and she looked at me and tears welled up in her eyes. And she said, F the New Age. we're turning fundamentalist. And I was like, what? They said, yeah, we're turning fundamentalist Christian. And I was just completely blown away because, I mean, she is the epitome of the new age, right? But you could see that, they came face with first the Luciferian forces, which, you know, we all tolerate to a large degree, probably our own wrong, you know, because maybe we should have been paying more attention to the Luciferian forces, because of themselves, they can be horrifying. I mean, communism is a Luciferian force, Nazism is a Luciferian force, and they can overwhelm and cause mass psychosis, which is what's going on in this country right now. And but the Luciferians were still somewhat rational. You could still talk to them using science and legal terms and things like that and kind of get through to them. But you cannot get through to the Ahrimanic forces. And that's they're on every side too. Ahrimanic forces are the neurotic, crazy people that are out there right now. They are not Luciferian. They are beyond that. They are the victims of a technological society that has no use for them. And
now, Jay,
we know it.
There's some that believe that they're already under some kind of AI control, these ones that are on the Ahrimanic side. Would you agree with that, that there's a large kind of AI entity that's already being infiltrating humanity?
The AI is the Ahrimanic forces. Yeah. That is the ultimate end of the entire technological 400 year spree that we've been on. And again, that's the Luciferian forces at work, objectifying everything. And there's no such thing as subjectivity and all of this stuff, you know, there's no such thing as free will. That's Luciferian. But now, Christians and people of Christ consciousness, they know that there is free will because they choose all the time to not do things, right? They have a break on their behavior. They have a governor on their behavior. And so when they're about to do something nasty, they generally go, nah, I'm not going to do that, you know, and they walk away. The Luciferians don't have that break. And so they will do things that are outrageous, like kill 60 million people in the Soviet Union or whatever. And now Ahrimann has no breaks. There is no breaks. It is just ruthless. And you cannot stop it. Steiner specifically says you cannot stop it. The only thing that you can do is move back to Christ consciousness as fast as you can. He said, that's the only way you can do it. He said, there's nothing else you can do at this point. So in the end, the Luciferian middle is going to break and a bunch are going to convert, like my new age friends, back into the Christ consciousness. And a lot of the people in the new age and the Buddhists and the people explore these different spiritualities, they are beginning to realize that there's it's sort of like junk food. It really looks good and it really smells good and it's fun to eat. But if you keep eating it, you'll die. So the Luciferian middle is going to break half or more than half. Probably we'll go the Ahrimanic way. And they'll say, screw it. We're going to join the Ahrimann forces. And then the other half will actually be converted back into Christ consciousness. It's going to be weird because you're going to see a lot of people that you never would have thought of as, and I'm saying they're turning Christian, Christ consciousness. This is a consciousness that knows that there's there are parallel universes with our universe and knows that you can entreat powerful forces in this universe to help you when you're in need. And that when you're kind to people, you generate kindness to you. And that's the Christ consciousness. It has little to do with any kind of religion. It has to do more with the framework or a frame of mind of yes. compassion and love and kindness towards children and animals and that kind of thing.
Yes,
I think Luciferian forces don't care.
Yeah, Luciferian exactly right.
Fill the slaughterhouses and they don't care. If they have to kill 700 million cows a day or whatever, they will do it. But now Ahriman doesn't want us to eat meat. So they're going to, Ahriman wants us to be weak.
Yes.
Okay. No, that's the truth. And I guarantee you, I guarantee it that they're,
one of the big driving factors right now to drive these people into the camps you're talking about is fear. And, you know, of course you're going to be afraid to lose your job if you don't get a jabby jab. Of course you're going to be afraid, you know, you won't be able to be to do anything socially, travel, go anywhere anymore, go shopping, buy anything if you don't have this mark, this jab, you know. And that's driving people into these exact camps that you're talking about, the Christ consciousness or the AI Ahrimanic do what the mainstream says camp, you know.
Yeah, and it's kind of terrifying, to be honest with you.
It's very terrifying. I want to go back for a second to the Facebook outage. I just checked again, still down. There's a few people that I've been talking with that say that they believe this is some kind of a big test for something that's could possibly be going down right under our noses. What do you think about that?
Oh, I think that's exactly what's going on. And I think that my local county passing the legislation a few days before this happened, we were on this morning on Facebook, my community was in an intense discussion about this legislation when it went down. And I mean, it was intense with a group of people saying it's fake news. And then you show them the document. Oh, that's fake news. Fake news. Yeah. It's like, no, why do you keep saying that? Why do you keep lessening the impact of this super important stuff, right? And you realize, it's just like Jesse Ventura once told me, they're everywhere, man. They're in the police force. They're the nuns. They're the bankers. They're the plumbers. He said, they're everywhere, dude, and they're watching everybody. And I really now believe that that's actually the truth. And I have no idea where we're headed. Ahriman does not want us here. Steiner is quite clear about that. He has nothing but disdain for the human race. I don't know. And Steiner specifically says there's no point in fighting it. It's a natural thing, he said. So it's like, when you're 7, you lose your teeth. And when you're 12, you go into puberty. And when you're, 65, you got to start getting wrinkles and gray hair. And, there's nothing you can do about it. You can exercise. You can try to change the world around you. But the natural processes take shape. And this is it. This is the final end of the yugas. The final end of the Kali Yuga. And how long that takes, I don't know. I would think it's not going to take long. What's interesting is that my good old, I think he may be deceased now, but my old friend Robert Lawler, who lived with the Australian Aborigines for about 20 years and learned kind of indigenous ways. And he would he said to me one time, he said, Jay, they teach you that there's two sexes. I go, yeah. He goes, but there isn't. Now, this is 30 years ago, he told me this. I go, what do you mean? He goes, well, there's actually four sexes. He says, sex is not just physical, it's also psychological. I go, what four sexes? What do you mean? He says, there's the man within the man, the woman within the woman, and then there's the man within the woman, and the woman within the man. And I was like, wow, that clears up a lot of confusion. I wish I'd known that before. And he says, yeah, and the four ages, four yugas, are also each ruled by one of these sexes. I went, really? He goes, yeah, the golden age was ruled by the woman and the woman. This is the long age of hunter-gatherer and no wars and there's so much fruit and vegetables growing wild that we never were wanting for anything. And then we went into the Silver Age, and that was ruled by the men within the men. And that's the age of emperors and pharaohs and wars and, the things guys like to do, like kill and fight, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So then the third age, the Bronze Age, is ruled by the women within the men. And this would be the priest class, right? The Vatican, and, you know, they wear dresses and they don't get married. And you know what I mean? We don't have to go too far there.
Yeah, I got you.
I'm a recovering Catholic. So, so then the fourth age, the Kali Yuga, is ruled by the men inside the women. And that's the age we're in right now. And if you look and you watch, you can see that all the politicians, the female politicians, and all of them, they're all the men within the women. You can see them. They talk like men. They act like men. They look like men in a lot of cases. And you can see that now in the Ahrimanic age is the ascendancy of the man within the woman. The woman who's acting out in the world like men did once. And now the men are, like I started this whole program out, it's the men that are now going inside. It's the men that are now pulling back from the society. It's the men that don't want anything to do with it anymore. I know I didn't want anything to do with it anymore. And if I was 30 years old, I'd find a way to get out as fast as I could. So,
it is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
That's how the Kali Yuga works. So the women ascend in power, then the men within the women begin exercising power, which drives the men within the men and the women within the women away from the society that's being built here. And so they are like the ones that have children and small businesses and farms and kind of the backbone of the whole entire thing, right? Well, you have those people pulling out of your society, then the Kali Yuga will be in full swing. And that's what's going on. But, you know, I can say that the people who were thinking ahead of time, who were the people repulsed by what was going on in the cities, and those would be the men within the men and the women within the women, they're doing just fine. You don't hear much about them or anything, but they're doing just fine. They're raising their kids, and they got chickens, and they got sheep, and they got, you know, they're doing just fine. So, you know, it's going to be incredible to watch the inner city explode first and move out to the suburbs, and then we'll see how far it gets, you know. Ahrimanic forces are moving like lightning speed right now, like no one's ever seen. And it's like a wildfire. I remember one time I saw a wildfire, a prairie fire, on a hot, hot, windy day. And I watched that thing blaze across Kansas in, I don't know, it was 10 miles a minute, right? And it was like one of the scariest things I've ever seen. And it was just consuming everything in its way. And that's what we're going to see here. And there's no pulling back. We've already made the step towards it. Terence McKenna used to say to me that we've blown up and burned every bridge behind us, and there's no way back, Jay. And he was right. We've burned every bridge behind us. We're being corralled into something, and it's incredible to watch.
It is. Honest with you. Yeah, I had Dennis on the show the other day. Great guy. But there's this spell on people, man. There's even people that I grew up with and I thought were really smart people and would know better. They have either fallen into fear, or it's just a spell that they, you know, that they're completely just given in to these Ahrimanic forces and the system, and they're going along with everything. And I don't know if there is any chance of the ones that have already made their decision and, you know, already gone and got this jabby jab, any chance of them ever coming back. I had someone I was talking to, a family member, a close family member, earlier today saying, so-and-so just died of COVID. And I was just about to ask them, well, did they get the jab? And they said, and you know, they just got the vaccination a few weeks ago. And I'm like, well, there you, and you didn't, and you can't put two and two together here, you know? He died of COVID. Okay. Yeah. I got you.
Yeah.
This is happening everywhere. This is happening all over the place.
Everywhere. No more people have died after the jab than I did from COVID.
Yeah.
Norm MacDonald supposedly got the jabber a couple, 3 or 4 days before he died of cancer. And this is Ahriman. It's incredible. And it's like the Luciferian forces are the ones that are going to be in the civil war, okay? The Christian forces will defend themselves. The Christ consciousness forces will defend themselves, but they won't go actively out and seek to kill and damage. But when the Luciferian forces begin splitting, and that's what's going on right now, in some ways it's fun to watch because they can't get anything done because they're always at each other's throats. So when they begin splitting and half of them say, oh my God, they're really doing this. This is really happening. There's not some conspiracy theorists. This is really going on. Then they start drifting into the Christ consciousness area of realizing that there's spiritual forces at work that is really the only explanation for what's going on here. Because we know humans aren't organized enough to pull anything like this off. So they will drift in, and we should accept them. Don't say, oh yeah, I remember a year ago you were saying this, you know. Don't do that. Say, hey, come on in, you know, yeah, we welcome you. Because you're gonna get a lot of people like that are gonna just suddenly start waking up to the idea that this is a jihad, a spiritual war. And then the other half, the ones you're talking about, are going to be the worst of the worst. They're going to be the kind that will be living while people suffer and die. And that's what Ahriman wants. Ahriman is the Lord of the Archons, and he enjoys it. You know, he enjoys it. That's what we have to understand. He enjoys it. And if you think about the whole story, you know, of how, you know, Jesus was, you know, put on the cross and all that, you can see that, you know, that there was a slow torture. Here's this guy who, you know, threw everybody out of the temple, all the bankers out of the temple, because the temple had just become a bank and was no longer a place, you know, for anything. And then he said that you should forgive the Romans, right? Because the Jews were in a big war against the Israelites, were in a big war against the Romans at the time. And, you know, and the priests, you know, that's it. Torture him, you know, and it was a lot nice, slow torture. Why? Why didn't they just kill him? Because they like it. And that's the whole reason for the story is to. And then what are you supposed to do when they do it to you? You're supposed to forgive them. So this is like, you know, they don't understand that. They don't understand that you would forgive them because they would never forgive you, believe me. And so that's where we are. And it's.
There's this revealing of the method, of course, that comes along with everything. How many times have you heard from a politician or an official on the news that we're in a new world order in the past year? You know, they have to throw things like this in our faces. And I think that, you know, it's a big joke to them often that they can just tell us what exactly they're doing to enslave us, you know, on the TV or through media or TV shows or whatever, music. And we're just not going to know what the hell's going on. And we're just going to take it.
Yeah, that's the whole point, and so now the Luciferians are atheists for the most part. They have, if they do have some kind of spirituality, it's usually very meager, or whatever, you know. They attend church once a week and think that they at one with God or something. But they're the football field. They're the football in the war. And like I said, they're going to start splitting apart now. And that's going to get bloody when they start splitting apart. And what's funny about it is the atheist middle will vanish, because the people that are going to turn to the Aramonic forces are going to realize that this is a spiritual war, and they're joining that force that they think will not harm them if they join it and do what it says. The other half is going to join the Christ consciousness force, and then we'll all be tortured. That's what's going to happen, unless, you know, something else spiritually happens. And, you know, maybe something will happen. At the same time, the AI, which is the Aramonic forces, is coming from, okay, so if you looked at out into our solar system, you looked really close like I have for years and years and years, you know that the Project Magellan, NASA's Project Magellan, saw photographed structures on Venus. We know that there are structures on Venus. We know there are structures on Mars. We know there are structures on the moon. We know there are structures on that comet, the 76P. We know that there's all these structures all over the solar system. There's a monolith on Phobos. There's you look at how weird some of the moons of Jupiter are. And anyway, if you pull back and you zoom back, you realize that what we're looking at here is on the Kardashev scale of civilizations, we're looking at a type 2 civilization. Okay, so type 1 civilization is a civilization that's in total control of their planet. A type 2 civilization is one that's in total control of their solar system. A type 3 civilization is one that's in total control of their galaxy. So basically, to me, that would be AI. Complete control of AI is complete control of your planet. That's type 1. AI, complete control of your solar system. That's type 2. Now, why are they so hard to see, these structures and this evidence? Because they're mostly underground and they're hiding, not from us. They're hiding from other type 2 civilizations that may be lurking around out there. And we're their farm, okay? That's what the Earth is. The Earth is the farm of this type 2 civilization. And they've been coming here for millennia, thousands and thousands of years. They've been coming here. They get their water. How many UFO reports have we seen where drawing water out of lakes? They probably live in under the oceans, probably in the Pacific, down in the Mariana Trench, just like James Cameron showed us in the abyss. And they tell our world leaders what to do.
Now,
and so these,
go ahead.
Yeah. And so these forces that we're talking about, so in order to build a technological society, they use Luciferian forces. All right. Now that the technological society is built and they're turning us into a type 1 civilization, and we will be that very soon, before 2030, I predict. Then they realize that with technology, they don't need us anymore. Therefore, because it used to, 100 years ago, it took 300 men to run a large farm. Okay, today it takes 5, right? For producing 5 times more food, too. Okay. So they feel this type 2 civilization feels pretty good that the new managers are going to be able to keep control of the planet, stop the destruction of their farm, which they're very concerned with all the pollution, the nuclear power plants and all that, and reduce the population by 8 out of 9, I'm thinking, something like that. And so that's what's going on. The Aramonic forces are those forces. That this type 2 civilization's orders are to our leaders, who are all Luciferians, what they're to do next. Right. And a lot of them are going, whoa. There was a meeting in New York City in 2000, I think, early 2008. And the guy that runs Berkshire Hathaway and Bill Gates and Oprah and Ted Turner. I could go on and on and on and on. They were all at this meeting. And the meeting went on for like 2 hours. There's a security guard right outside the meeting. So there was a lot of shouting and things in this meeting. And then the door opened and Oprah Winfrey came out first crying. Right. And everybody came out with somber expressions on their faces. By the way, Trump wasn't at that meeting, by the way. And I heard from my insiders that that was where they got laid out the Depop agenda. And that if you weren't on board, that they would just destroy you. So if you were not. So if you look at rich people who've been destroyed in the last 13 years, if you Google it, it's probably the ones that said, no, I can't participate in this. Now, Oprah is participating in it, but you notice she backed off completely out of everything, right? So she's not a big influencer anymore because she knows, you know, who's probably going to be first in this thing. And, you know, it's her own people. And so, that's what this is. And, and it's cold and calculating. And you have to be Aramani. Even Luciferians don't have the necessary. They'll kill 60 million in China, 80 million in Russia, 40 million in Germany, but killing 7 billion? Man, that takes some serious. Right. You know, I firmly have to not believe in karma, apparently, too, right?
Yeah, I want to talk about this type 2 civilization that, you know, you're talking about that could possibly be running the show. Are you of the mindset that the recent extraterrestrial UFO, I call them psyops, that have been coming out of our mainstream media are being directed by this civilization for some reason to kind of put this into our consciousness for some reason?
My insiders say that they're going to reveal the alien soon, one of the aliens that's the most human looking. And he saw it. He met it. And he said that this is a 40-year veteran of intelligence. And he's, you know, been in war and everything. And he said he couldn't. His mind was fine with seeing this thing, but his gut was wrenching. And he couldn't understand the dichotomy. That's what he said. So one of the things he told me that's inside the, you know, the squish is a sedative, a kind of a permanent sedative. And I know an RN has told me that after she shot people, that they look like they slightly have Alzheimer's. There's like a little cloud around them. And he said, because they're going to be so shocked at what they see, that it's going to change the world. So that when they bring him out, this little guy or whatever it is that they're going to bring out, that's when they pull the switch from just a planet of different countries to a full bore type one civilization that will do the bidding of the type two civilization in running this farm. That's the whole point of this, is to run the farm correctly, to grow the food correctly, to keep the population down, make sure they're not using up too many resources. I worked for a guy once. He had probably $600-700 million. And I ran a spiritual center a long time ago for him. And we had places for people that ran the spiritual center to live, right? And this guy wanted me to put two little tiny 8x12-foot rooms, right, with a bathroom. Right? He wanted me to put bunk beds in there and put two people in each room. I'm like, dude, come on. I'm not going to put two people in a little room like that. And he's like, why not? And I go, man, this is cruel, have these people all stacked up on top of each other. And he could not understand it. He couldn't get it. And I wouldn't do it. I said, don't fire me. I'm not doing it, right? And I didn't do it. And I wouldn't do it. But, you know, that's their mindset. It's like, oh, well, we can get two people in a bunk bed and I don't know, save on everything. And that's the Luciferian mindset. Well, the Luciferian mindset leads to the Aramonic mindset of total and complete control. And these control freaks are not going to stop until they're there. And, you know, I don't think there's any way going back. I don't think there is. I think the type two civilization has already made the decision. And
you mentioned depopulation. I have heard plenty of accounts of sterilization since the people getting the jabby jab. And that's, you know, this is a real mainstream accounts that are actually coming out of, you know, women and men both becoming sterile all of a sudden after receiving this. And we've all heard of the depopulation agenda. And this could be just a small example of what's to come in the next few years. Because I'm sure that, you know, right after the people get the jabby jab, you said they may have a sedative effect. But what's the real effect? What's going to come in the next, you know, year, 6 months from now? 8 months, you know.
Yeah, we're being turned into GMO humans, genetically modified organisms, and they have to know everything, and everything has to be coded and put into control. That's what it's all about. And it's easier to control 500 million than it is 8 billion. And what's also funny, or not funny, but sad, is that I don't believe personally that we are overpopulated. I think we have a distribution problem. If we had 10 billion Zen monks living on planet Earth, you could fly around in a jet for days and not see anything. You know, occasional little grass hut here, maybe a small fire going to cook your tea. But if you had 10 billion Bill Gateses, the whole place would be trashed. Right? Actually, 10 million Bill Gates, the whole place would be trashed. So it's not a matter of how many, it's a matter of how the resources are allocated. And so the whole thing is just not real. But here's the important thing is, you know, we have 10 billion brain cells in our brain, humans do. And a lot of people think that when we hit the 10 billion population, we're going to move into a different kind of consciousness and a fully awakened consciousness. And it seems to me that we may be like around 9 billion maybe now, right now, because they're not really doing a really good job keeping especially in Africa, which is really growing like crazy. There's 200 million people in Namibia, by the way. Okay. People don't realize how many people are in Africa. Yeah. Are they trying to abort that consciousness from happening? It could be. And they don't want it. But, I'm a practical guy, and I've seen the evidence. I know that they don't, the civilization doesn't travel around in big Star Trek high-tech looking stuff. They hollow out asteroids and live inside them, so they can't get detected. So when you see them going by, you just think it's an asteroid going by. That up the Yanawama, remember the big rock that came in? That's one of their vehicles, right? And that's what they look like. And it's totally hidden because there's like other very predatory species out there looking for places to conquer. I mean, you know, we've been kind of foolish. We're putting out all these radio signals and beams and, you know, anybody out there can kind of see where we are. And I think maybe the type two civilization wants us to cut that one down too. They don't want any more broadcast signals going out. And they're worried about other things coming in that they can't defend themselves with. And so I think this is where we are. It's a total sci-fi world that we're entering. And it has a spiritual underpinning, which is why it's so fascinating.
Yes, we are entering extremely fascinating, and sci-fi is a great word for it because it's like the strangest sci-fi movie I've ever seen, but we're living it right now. Now, we were talking about what's going on in your local area and the possibility of this going on in pockets of local areas all across the country. What advice would you give to people? You said that you are trying to get people in your community to vote these assholes out. Is that the advice you'd give to anyone in this same situation? Just try and get to the very root?
If your local guys are voting draconian measures, especially unanimously, without telling you, you're done talking. We're done talking. There's no more talking. You've spoken. You're done. You get them out right away. You have an emergency election, and you vote them out. You're making sure it's the only thing on the ballot. Do they stay or do they go? And everyone goes, and then you start all over with three people who aren't going to do that. And we have to do that. And, you know, and then also, you know, talk to your sheriff, your local sheriff, and say, hey, would you defend? Would you actually go do this? Would you confiscate my house from me? Would you actually do that? Really, man?
Right.
You know, yeah. I always help you when you need help, you know? So, you know, like, what the hell? And so you have to turn this into a personal thing. That's what I'm encouraging my friends in Australia to do, is that to go to those policemen's house if they're in your neighborhood and start talking to their wife and say, hey, listen, you know, we're just trying to work and live, and, you know, your husband has to come home every night, and, you know, do you really want to live in a neighborhood where everybody hates you? And right. And that's kind of what we have to do, is turn this more into a personal thing. There's a way they teach you how to defang a mob, right? You know, the sheriff is in the front of it's the Old West, and the sheriff's out in front of the jail, and the mob is coming down with their torches, you know, because the guy raped a little girl or something, right? And he's got in jail, and he's got to make sure the guy is safe no matter what, or he'll lose his job, right? So the mob's coming down, and we're going to take him in, get out of our way. We're going to grab him and hang him. You know, and so the sheriff, you know, if he knows how to defang the mob, he goes, hey, Jim, how's your wife? And he begins individuating the mob. Hey, Bill, is your cow still sick? Hey, Frank, how's your daughter? Right. And you defang the mob. And that's what we have to do. We have to start calling them out by name in a friendly way, and say, hey, you know, we're neighbors. You can't really do this. And I wouldn't do it to you. And I fully expect you to treat me the same way. And I think that's what we're going to have to do. And, you know, we have a big meeting here in Martown tonight at 7:00, and I'll be attending. And it's, in a way, it's the first time we've ever had a big meeting in this town. So it's a strange thing, you know. It's like, you know, at the same moment that they're trying to make laws that will essentially give them dictatorial rule, we are actually finally coming together as a community. So, you know, yin and yang, and also what's the first law of thermodynamics? So each reaction creates an equal and opposite reaction. So that's what's going on. So they can force it, but it's going to be a reaction, and eventually it could get bloody.
Yeah, and I think that's ultimately what it's going to have to come to, is, you know, people's heads rolling or on pikes, those that are in charge, you know what I mean? Because people can't put up with this in much longer. I know Australia is definitely at the breaking point. I know they don't have any guns, but pick up a butter knife or something and stick it in someone's ear. I mean, it's time for us to stand up and come to the streets and do something. But
if you're in Australia, yeah. YouTube PVC crossbow. And you'll have a video showing you how to make a crossbow out of half-inch PVC. It's really cool. And, you know, there's lots of ways, man. Come on. I live in the country. I could build myself a very, very cool weapon in about 15 minutes. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's just a little imagination is all it takes. So, yeah, and, you know, and all the other things, you know, we have to, in our community now, this has also spurred us to all get radios that are on 24/7. So each house has a radio that, you know, if you got an emergency, you hit it, right? But we can also watch the door-to-door stuff for the, you know, the magic juice. If they start doing stuff, we'll be able to communicate with each other, right? Oh, they're coming towards your house, right? Yeah. That kind of thing, right? So this is the kind of thing we have to do, and we have to do it right now. We can't wait any longer. Prep, don't wait. Buy food, get a good water supply. If you can, buy a barrel, you know, 55-gallon barrel or two, and fill it up with water and park it in your garage, and, you know, just do everything. At this stage, I'm doing everything. I'm doing things that I'm not throwing anything away anymore, right? I was like, I've got like 35 pieces of PVC like this long, right? Right. And I'm not throwing them. Normally I just junk them, right? But nope, not anymore. Nothing's getting thrown away anymore. And yeah. So, you know, that's our new world. And in some ways we were kind of a sloppy and wasteful. And so, you know, to curtail, that's not a bad thing. And, you know, also if kids can start going to online schools and get away from the propaganda, that may not be a bad thing either. So there are good sides. So
yeah, we're definitely living in fascinating, terrifying, interesting times. And I want to thank you again, Jay, for coming on and sharing with us today. I know you have your own show. Anything interesting coming up? Any interesting guests?
Well, I'm booking Randall Carlson to talk about sacred geometry. And believe it or not, I found a Bigfoot nest. So I'm taking a lot of really interesting video right now.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're going to have to keep us updated on that. We'll have you back on in the future, see what your Bigfoot investigation yields. Well, Jay, thank you so much for coming on again, and we'll definitely talk to you again soon.